welcome to the Soccer Coach Weekly podcast with me, Steph Weber. Thank you for joining us as we get insights and ideas from coaches working across the game to help you develop into the coach you want to be. This episode, I'm joined by Joe Fenema, assistant coach at Columbus State University. Joe was formerly a professional player, having played for the US national team at youth level and under Mark Skinner for the Orlando Pride in the NWSL. But her playing career came with a lot of challenges, including being drafted by an NWSL team that folded, suffering two ACL injuries, and discovering that she has severely degenerative discs in her back. It was this discovery and subsequent hip labrum tears that led Jo to retire at the age of 24, and a chance encounter that meant she found her way back into the game through coaching. I caught up with Jo to talk about transitioning from player to coach, how coaches can support players that are striving to be elite, and what players might need from their coaches when they're injured. First, though, she told me a bit more about her playing background and her route into coaching.
I'm from Raleigh, North Carolina. I played for Castle, which is now NC Courage, with ECNL. We won two ECNL national championships there. Kind of through my youth, I was with the U.S. youth national teams kind of all the way up until U-20s. So U-17 World Cup, last one cut from the U-20 World Cup. I then actually graduated high school a year early. So I graduated in 3 years to go to UNC to play. At UNC, I tore two ACLs while I was there. So I ended up taking a redshirt year. So spent 4.5 years at UNC. I then I got drafted by the Boston Breakers. The Boston Breakers folded the next day. I was put into a dispersal draft where I was then, my rights were picked up by Chicago. That was a time when if a team owned your rights, they owned you for the year, whether or not they paid you or not. You also couldn't go anywhere else in the league at the time if they held your rights. So my rights were held in Chicago a year. So I trained with the team. I was not signed. I could not go anywhere else in the NWSL. So that's a funny, it's not funny, but that's part of the journey. Once my rights were done for that year, I played a year in Orlando, was able to get, start a lot of games there, play a significant amount of minutes. I then was planning on going back to play in Orlando, but kind of at that time in January, I was training and kind of did a cut, fell to the ground. My back kind of just went, found out I have severely degenerative discs in my back. Later, I found out I had a severe left hip labrum tear, and so I got that fixed. Decided to retire because I just, my body had been through it. Also got my right hip labrum repair surgery too. So that's kind of like my playing career. But then, I was blessed enough. I got married kind of within all that in 2019. And my husband went to West Point. He played basketball there. So he was actually stationed in Fort Benning, which is Columbus, Georgia. I was kind of on the brink of retiring at that point. I hadn't really come to the conclusion that, I was ready to give it up, or didn't realize how severe my injuries actually were. And actually was walking, we were walking our dog around our apartment, kind of lake area, and ran into a young girl who had CSU women's soccer shirt on with their dog. So I love dogs. And I stopped and introduced myself. Her dog's Met. I was like, oh, do you play there? Like, what's the story? She said, no, my dad's the coach. And I was like, oh, okay, great. A month goes by. I decide to retire. We're driving through the neighborhood that we golf at. And my husband was golfing. I was riding the cart. But we were driving through, and it was during COVID. And so, everybody was out. And so I saw the dog. And then I saw, this, little guy, walk in. I was like, okay, that's definitely the head coach. And that's the dog. So I was like, let me get out and introduce myself. So I got out and introduced myself. Turns out he's a legend in the game too. And he was like, come be a part of the program. I said, great. Volunteered in that kind of COVID fall. Became the assistant in that real spring that was like the real year, and have been here ever since, and absolutely love it.
It's a great story, and I've done a lot of these podcasts, and I don't think I've ever asked this question before. But when you were telling it, I was like, oh, she's meant to be in soccer. Like that was meant.
When you look back on it, and it was a definite. Some powers that be that I think really, really took control of that situation for sure.
Mm-hmm. So throughout that journey, what kept you in the game? What kind of kept you mentally strong throughout all of those ups and downs that you went through?
I think it all boils down to, like, I really, really love soccer. And, you know, at times it's, you know, probably not healthy, but I think just my true love of the game and everything that it teaches you, everything that it embodies, all the different things about it, I think have always kept me coming back to it. Kind of with my retirement, I was like, I'm not going to coach. I was like mad at soccer because like took me out of the game. And then I was like, I love it too much. Like I'm not going anywhere. So I think just the love of the game.
And then as you've made that transition from playing to coaching, I suppose, has that love kind of changed form? Like, is it a different experience? What does that look like for you?
Yeah, I think for me, at least, I was never like relied on like my pure athleticism with soccer and to be successful. So I really had to figure out how to be successful in the game, understanding the game, understanding like the technical side of things. So at a young age, I always taught myself and always thought the game in a kind of different level to help me just, you know, go against superior athletes. And so for me, when I got into coaching, to see that transition of how do I relay what's in my brain to 20 odd kids or 30 odd kids. And so to see how I can teach and see others understand what I've been trying to do, what I did to myself for so long, I think that's been really cool.
And you referenced, obviously, you know, the US national team, the, you know, NWSL teams. You have performed in a lot of elite environments and obviously worked with and been influenced by a lot of coaches. Mm-hmm. What are some of the best experiences you've had under coaches? What coaching behaviors have you seen that you were like, that spurred me on, that really helped me grow?
Yeah, I think, you know, I was lucky enough to have a lot of different coaches at like the perfect like time of my life. So growing up, I had a great, two great coaches in Scotty Schweitzer and Damon Nahas, with kind of understanding the technical side of things. And I'm kind of psycho. And so when I went to UNC, it was nice to kind of have Anson as a head coach that really embraced and embodied that kind of psychoness and encouraged it. And then, you know, I was lucky enough to play for Mark Skinner, who's now the head coach for the Manchester United women's team. And that's where I really learned, you know, I thought he did a phenomenal job of just, I really talked a lot of soccer with him, of tactics, of, you know, we really got along well with just talking soccer, and like to see how that was kind of the first time that I really started to really chat with a coach kind of about how he coaches and like why he did certain things or the tactics of this and this, rather than just like as me as an individual or as individuals as players. So having those like conversations of more coaching conversations, I think also prepped me for, you know, the next step in my journey that was super close that I had no idea that I would be coaching the next year.
So I think we'll have a lot of listeners, the podcast, that work with kind of mixed ability groups and maybe see, I don't know, maybe like a young Joe and they're like, loves the game, loads of promise, mm-hmm. could go really far. What would you say to coaches that are working with those kind of players about how they can support them and help develop them?
Yeah, no, I think that's a great question. I think something that I definitely try to do as a coach, because not saying that I was difficult to coach, but I probably was, just because I'm so, so passionate about, you know, the game and doing things the correct way and working hard and competing. And so I think something that I try to do as a coach is really embrace the personality of the individual that I'm coaching. So I think it's embracing, you know, we're never going to change. We can help guide and we can help influence and we can help direct, but we're truly never going to change the makeup and the personality of the individual we're coaching, because that's what makes them who they are. That's what made me, I think, you know, a successful player is that kind of side of me, my personality. So I would say really embrace the personality and embrace whatever makes them special, but help them harness it, help them use it in a positive way and be there for them to help guide them through that process, if that kind of makes sense. Accept them and love them for who they are and help them navigate their journey because it's specific to them.
And obviously I'm kind of closer to stuff in the UK, but there's a lot of debate about age group banding and how do we push players on and, you know, what's your view, I suppose, on what's the best challenge for a player that's really striving to reach the top?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I think I always played up my entire life. So back before, like in the US, before like age groups and the birth year and all that thing, all of that changed. So I was I'm born in November. So I was a late 95, born in 1995, November 1995. And so I technically was supposed to play in the 1995 age group, but my whole life I played up. And then with the national team, it was all based off birth year. So I was a young 95. So all of the players in the national team that I was playing with were all also in the age up, if that kind of makes sense. It's difficult to explain. But I was, even in national team, I was playing up technically, even though it was in my birth year. I was a late 95. So for me, I think I was always challenged in that aspect. And, you know, I was able then to use that and I graduated early to go play at UNC. So for me, I've played up my whole life. And I think if a young player is capable of playing at a high level, let them play. Our job as coaches is to put players in situations that they're learning and growing. And if a kid isn't learning and growing in their age group because maybe they're too good, put them in environments to challenge them. And I think that's the only way, you know, the sport develops and the only way the individual player can develop. I mean, they may get bored and get frustrated and then be like, I'm done with, like, I'm not being challenged. And then that stunts their development and that's not good for the individual. So I'm a big proponent of let them play with whoever challenges them the most. For me, in the off season, I didn't play high school. And so for me, it was a challenge to kick down the doors to let me play with the academy boys side here. And, you know, I kicked down the door and they let me do it. But I had to push for it. And so I think for me, that was a huge challenge for me. And I think that made me a better player. So I think putting players in uncomfortable situations and helping them through those times, I think is most important.
Do you think that principle is true of coaching then as well? Coaches putting themselves in uncomfortable, difficult situations in order to grow and develop. And I suppose for you as a young female coach, are you going through some of that?
Yeah, I think I love that question because that's exactly what my current head coach at CSU did for me. Like I had literally just retired. And like I got there and he's like, okay, like, you know, after a couple of weeks, like, you're running the session today. And I'm like, I'm sorry, what? Like, I obviously played, but like, I don't know how to form a session, run a session. Like, he's like, yeah, you do. Like, you most definitely do. Like, you do. So just do it. And I was like, okay. And so the first, you know, few months, like, it was really like, am I doing this right? Like, and he was like, you're going to figure it out. And so for me, it was, I was thrown into the deep end in a very positive way, and in a way that I don't think, you know, I think it's the only way, the best, not the only way, but one of the best ways to learn is literally just to be thrown in and do it. So for me, that was a moment. You know, my head coach also in the spring for kind of my development, he takes a back seat And I'm the head coach in the spring. So I design every session. I run every session. I'm the head coach in all of the games. He'll sit in the press box. I do the pregame, halftime, postgame, all of it talk. And every year I really feel like I grow tremendously. And so every spring I'm definitely thrown into, you know, a learning environment. Right now I'm in my B license class, but I think it's just surrounding yourself with people who push you and ask you questions. And my girls are phenomenal. They challenge me every day, that's for sure, at CSU. So I think it's, you know, we can only be as good as we want to be. And I have to put myself in situations that make me feel uncomfortable so I can get it, become a better coach.
And, you know, you said how much you've grown. I suppose, what have you learned about yourself from the start of your coaching journey to now? I know it's probably a massive question.
Yeah, that's a massive question. I would say the things that made me a successful player have translated into coaching. In the sense of my will to win, my passion for the game, and just as much as I want, like, our players at CSU to be themselves and support them and them being themselves, I have to be authentic to myself as well. So me being Joe Boyles, Fenema, like, me just being myself and being vulnerable, being, you know, competitive, me being passionate, like all those things. I think for a little bit I was like, maybe I don't need to be that. Maybe I have to fit this mold of coach, you know, Coach Joe now. And it's just like, no, like I just have to royally be myself and be authentic. And I think I learned that pretty quick in it, of as soon as I'm myself, things start to go and things start to move. So I think you know, that was something that, you know, I learned pretty quickly. And it's just continuing to be myself and learn and grow. And I think hopefully that, you know, whatever we deem successful, whatever success that is, hopefully that'll, you know, I'll reach it.
Would that be your number one bit of advice then for any player that's maybe transitioning into coaching to hold on to who they are and lead with that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think any player who has the urge to go into coaching obviously has the urge because either they love the game or they see the game differently. We always draw on experiences. So whatever experience they had as a player is different than mine, is different than Susie Q's, is different than whoever's. So I think that's what makes just as much that makes players unique in their certain traits. I think that's what makes coaches unique as well, is being authentic to themselves. And just because you can't kick the ball, you know, once the whistle blows, doesn't mean you can't find ways to be yourself, to influence and coach the players that you have.
How has it been for you, I suppose, connecting with your players, given that you are quite close in age? Obviously, you've had really recent experiences. Do you think that's helped connect with players?
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, I think for me, that's something that, you know, is a huge benefit, is that I was in their shoes not too long ago. And the relatability, the understanding of what their day-to-day is like, I think for me, I think that's a huge, huge benefit that I can, you know, are they having boyfriend or girlfriend problems? Like, I'm able to kind of like pick up on that, because I'm not too far removed from being in their position. A ton of external factors that dictate like how you walk in the office or how you walk in the door. And, you know, something that like I pride myself is like, my office is a very safe space. Like, doors always open. You can always talk to me. Like, whatever you got going on, like, I'm here to help in any way that I possibly can. And so I think if players feel that I'm there for them, then, you know, they'll give me everything that they have. And I think the rules, I think it's vice versa too. Like, if I show my true self to them, then they're going to go, oh, okay. Like, maybe what she's saying is like, she really does care about me. Like, she truly is in it for for my best interest. So I think, you know, obviously I am a coach, but I'm also a person too. And they're a player and they're a person too. And, you know, it's still keeping that relationship, that coach-player relationship, but it's also like human to human, I think is really important too. And understanding that we're all just humans here and we're going to get through every day together. So I think that's something that's really, really important.
So if you had to sum up who you are as a coach in like one sentence, what would you say?
Okay. You know, I think I'm going to actually ask my players that when we get back from spring, because I'd be curious to see what they had to say. I would say I am an extremely passionate, hardworking, detailed, fun-loving, caring coach who truly wants what's best for every player that I coach.
I love that so much.
I think that's what I'm going to go with.
I could see you working out where the commas were.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I really love that. On the detailed part, kind of, and you reference where you take over as a head coach for spring and stuff, and more of a kind of practical question, like, what does your kind of preparation look like? What's your preferred session design? Like, how do you like to do that stuff?
Yeah, I think that's definitely something that, you know, I've definitely learned from my head coach. For me, in kind of the detailed is, I think that's what made me a good player. So it's something that I take pride in as a coach. So I think for me, when, you know, I'm designing a session or running a session, it's, you know, a lot of time and thought goes into what we're doing and why are we doing it. I don't like just to throw the girls into something and like, okay, let's kick a ball. I think it's important that everything is purposeful. Everything is detailed, and detailed in the sense of, you know, I'm passing from A to B, but why am I actually passing from A to B? I'm passing from A to B to move the defender. Am I passing from A to B so I can take a look and readjust myself? You know, I think there are sessions that are run that maybe players don't know why. And so for me, I think, and I try to put myself in their shoes of, I always wanted to know why as a player. So when I'm doing a session, I'm really making sure that they know why, and why I'm so nitpicky on adjusting their angles or the weight of the pass or like the certain details within the session. So it's, can I make sure that they understand the why? If they understand the why, then they're going to be more engaged in the session. They're going to be more up for it and excited about it because they're going to see why. And then in the game, when it works out, they're going to see, okay, I see what Joe was saying there. Like, that makes sense. So I think for me, that's where that detail, I really, really care about the details. That's for sure.
I feel like with coaches sometimes, we have to sit in that uncomfortable moment where it's like, they don't get it, but I know what I'm doing and they're going to come to that realization. Like, do you have those moments where you just have to back yourself through it?
Yeah, I think it was funny because I was, we had a defending session, I want to say last week or week and a half. And so we play 3-6-1. So we have a back three and two holding midfielders. So we were getting rep after rep after rep of what happens when one of our holding midfielders has to go out and defend. Well, it's super situational. So like if it's on so-and-so, somebody's got to step, they got to drop, or just super detailed in the triggers and the different triggers that would occur and how we would solve it. And every situation is different. And so some of the girls are starting to get like really frustrated with it. And so like in that moment, I'm like, okay, I know what I'm trying to get. Like in my head, I'm thinking, okay, like I know what I'm trying to get out of it. I know what's happening is getting it out of it. Now I have to like manage their emotions and get them to see what I see. And all of a sudden a cluster then becomes one rep happens where it works. And then it goes, okay, ladies, like, this is what it is. This worked because this, that's what I'm trying to get at. So then once they're able to see the picture, they go, oh, okay. And then emotions start to kind of calm down a little bit. And then everybody then is really clear on the movements and the shape and the things that, like, I was trying to get at before. So sometimes it was like, it would be like a lot of like, I don't understand this. Like, why is this? Da, 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 da. And I'm like, just give a second. Like, let the chips fall. And once they see it, then they're like, okay, that makes sense. So I think, you know, for me, it's just as much as it's putting them in uncomfortable situations and solving it. And I think it's important to solve it, you know, as a unit and as a team, because if I just tell them exactly what to do, they're actually the ones doing it. And they're the ones actually doing it. I'm going to be on the sidelines during the game. So they're the ones that actually have to understand it. So if they're asking questions, I talk to the back three and the holding two and go, what do you think? Like, maybe what I'm seeing is just from a different perspective, but you're the one seeing it from a center back's perspective. Do you want that to happen or do you not want that to happen? I think it should be, but you're the one in the shoes. You tell me what you think. And so I think once you have a conversation about it and they feel like what they're saying also matters, then when it's all broken down and it all comes together, that's when I think hopefully success happens.
And you've obviously said, you know, you're incredibly detail oriented and just so passionate about the game. Do you ever feel like there's not enough time, like, for everything you want to do in these sessions and all these conversations you want to have?
Yeah. I think for me, like, for example, last spring when I was the head coach, there was a lot more, because it was my first season as a head coach with that group. So once I kind of coached them the way that, like, I saw everything, even though it took maybe a lot of pauses and a lot of freezes and a lot of, like, this is what I see. Just trust me, just tweak it, see what happens. Okay, they tweaked it, it worked. So gaining that trust, moving into this spring, where they've already had me now for 2 years, they're going to trust a little bit more what I have to say. But then they're also going to, they've already been coached. So they already know the little details that I pounded them on. So now I'm able to go kind of on a deeper level of knowledge and details rather than maybe just like drop and flip your hips. Now it can be like even more layered information layered onto them, that now that's I think when we start to really are going to start to be successful, is now I'm able to give them way more detail than just a simple detail. If that kind of makes sense.
Yeah, it does. And I think, I don't know, sometimes the temptation for coaches is like, I need to give all the detail and everything that I know. And you're like, what you just referenced, you have to build it up sometimes.
Exactly.
Yeah. I want to touch on your injuries just a little bit from the perspective of, I suppose, when you were going through your injuries, what was really useful for you in terms of support that you got from coaches, and what you would like coaches to know about how they can support and help players that are going through difficult injuries?
Yeah, no, I think that's a great question. And I think for me as a player, I now as a coach tried to, kind of like your question, like I tried to give what I wanted. And I think for me, I think it's just the constant, like, showing that you care and showing that you care in a very genuine way, because people can read through, you know, somebody not being themselves, or I don't think ingenuity, that's not a freaking word, but like somebody who's not genuine, you can read through. So I think it's making sure that it's a, you know, for example, if a kid tears their ACL, they're going to be bombarded with text messages in the first week. But when it comes to ACLs, like, the first week is fine because everybody's caring about you. It's really that, like, second and third month where it's like, you can't really play soccer, you can't really run, but you're in this phase. Like, I think that's really when it's important that, like, people show that they care. And I think that for me, just showing that you care and showing that you're keeping up with them and you don't forget about them, I think that's the most important thing.
Okay, so final question then is, I don't know if you are a planner. Are you like, in 5 years, I want to be here? Or are you like, I just want to ride the wave and see where the journey takes me? Like, yeah, what does that future look like and how are you thinking about it?
It's a great question. For me, my whole life, it was always like, I want to be the best soccer player. I want to play in the U.S. Women's National Team. Like, I want to win a World Cup. I'm going to win a gold medal. And, you know, I was able to get pretty far in that. But I don't think that's the end all and be all. And for me, I never really enjoyed the moments that I was at because I was always striving for the next thing. And so for me, kind of in, I guess now my second career of the coaching side is like, I really truly want to enjoy every single day that I get to coach, and every single day that I can impact, hopefully positively, other people. So for me, kind of in my journey is I want to be a mom. Me and my husband want to have a family. I want to coach. Where that is, I don't know. For me, I want to impact people every day in a positive way. Wherever that is, I'm not sure, but I'm kind of riding the wave, and wherever that wave takes me, that, you know, I can impact people, I can have a family, and I can coach. I think that's the dream for me.
That was the voice of Jo Fenema. Thanks to Jo for her time and sharing her experiences and insights with us. And thanks to you for listening to the Soccer Coach Weekly podcast. For more from us, join us again next time or visit soccercoachweekly.net for practice plans, advice, interviews, and much more. I'm Steph Fairbairn. See you again soon.